You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews 1. We've been teaching on Jesus. Can't go wrong doing that. In fact, we've been teaching on Jesus for a couple of months, on His deity, His humanity. And in the worship service, we've been teaching on the uniqueness of Jesus. I think that's awesome how unique Jesus is. He's not a Buddha, a Confucius, a Muhammad. He's not even a Moses of the Old Testament. Jesus doesn't even fit that category. Jesus didn't come to teach us. He didn't come to lead us, to guide us, to give us a better example to live by. He wasn't just a good man, good teacher. Jesus came to save us from our sins.
That's right.
And He wasn't just someone who told us about God. He is God. And so He doesn't even fit the mold or the category of other religious leaders or teachers. He hit the earth with such a force, He split it right in half. We're living in the year of our Lord, A.D., 2009, fixing to go into 2010, because in Texas you're always fixing to do something. No one ever did that or had that kind of impact. No other religious leader came to die for your sins. They came to teach, lead, guide. He came to die. That was His point and His purpose, is to die for our sins. And so we taught on the uniqueness of Jesus and how He doesn't fit the mold of other religious leaders. Christianity is not another religion among many. Christianity is the truth. It's totally unique. It's not a philosophy like Buddhism. It's not just a system of works like the Muslim faith. And it is salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen?
That's right.
He wasn't just a prophet and a teacher and an example. He was God, Emmanuel, God with us. We celebrate that this time of year. And then we talked about how it was pre-announced. Nobody ever, talked about Muhammad coming, and no one ever told us Buddha would be sitting under the tree, waiting for people to come by and rub his belly for good luck. But Jesus, for thousands of years, was announced down to the place He was born. Micah 5:2 says He'd be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah 7:14 said He'd be born of a virgin. Psalms 22 talks about how he was going to be killed and die, and His garments would be parted and sold, and His bones wouldn't be broken. He'd be pierced. I mean, great detail. The Bible tells us one of His friends would betray Him, and how much He would even sell Him for. That's in the Old Testament. It tells us all kinds of things, over 300 prophecies of Jesus. So that's unique. He was pre-announced. And then last week we talked about Him being a Savior. He came to save us from our sins. Hallelujah, somebody. So we're not talking about a great leader we're following, a great religious teacher whose example we try to emulate. Yes, we're trying to be like Jesus, but no amount of trying to be like Jesus is going to get me to heaven. Because I didn't need to be a little better, and I didn't need to, a better guide and a better example and a better teacher. I needed a Savior to save me from my sins.
Yes.
And He came to save me. That's what His name means. Jesus, Joshua, Old Testament, Yeshua. It means God saves, a Savior.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So that's this Jesus that we're talking about. We have reason to rejoice. We have good tidings of great joy, which is to all people. Amen. And so Hebrews, the first chapter, continue on this thought of who Jesus is and what He did and how He's unique. Hebrews, y'all found Hebrews?
Yes.
That's where it talks about men making coffee. Okay. Boy, I tell you what, y'all must have stayed up late last night. I'm pulling out all the stops. I'm doing everything I can here. Okay, first verse, first chapter, Hebrews. God who at various times, I'm reading New King James Version, I think the King James says, God who at sundry times in divers manners, spoken times past by the prophets, to the fathers by the prophets, says, God who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Now, think about that. God used to, this is the way He used to speak to us before Jesus, by the prophets. This is the way He ministered. They were instruments of God. They were mediums of communication. He used them to communicate to us. Okay. It goes on and says, has in these last days, second verse, spoken to us by His Son. Now, in my Bible, that's in italics, by His Son. And one of the reasons for that is because it doesn't translate real well. When you really take the Greek here, He has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Actually, He's spoken to us in Son. It doesn't even sound right when you say it. And so they have to stick some words in there to make it work. I'm not changing the Bible. This is just what it says. That He spoke to us in Son. Say it another way. He spoke to us by prophets in the past. He spoke to us in His Son now. The prophets brought us a message. Jesus is the message.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yes.
So Jesus wasn't just a way He spoke to us. Jesus is what He's speaking to us.
Yes, that's right.
Amen.
That's good.
It's different. See, they're all types and shadows and foreshadowings and predictions and prophecies under the Old Testament, you know, Genesis all the way through Malachi, about the coming of the Lord. And they were words and prophecies and announcements. When Jesus came along, He was the prophecy. He was the announcement. He was, as John said, chapter 1, verse 14, the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. It says of Moses, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now we're not just being, it's not being proclaimed or heralded or announced. Now we're not just hearing about it. We are experiencing what they talked about. The shadow that was cast in the Old Testament, the thing that was casting the shadow showed up. The substance of what was said has arrived. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And in times past, He spoke to us by the prophets. They were the instruments of God. But when Jesus came, God showed up. I love that. He didn't bring us a message. He is the message. Woo!
That's good. Thank you.
That stirs me more than it stirs y'all, but it ought to stir us all. Amen?
Amen?
That Jesus came along, and He now is not a prophet of God, not a teacher of God. He is God.
Amen.
He has come and showed up. He visited us. I said this other night, and I think I heard Terry Myers say this one time. Many of you know Terry Myers. That what happened when Jesus was born is that heaven bent down and kissed the earth, and we got caught in the middle of the smack.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. Hallelujah. So God, who at various times and in various manners or ways spoke to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son or in His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Wow. You couldn't say that about Muhammad or Buddha. Or any other religious leader. Here it says it was through Jesus that the worlds were made. And He says, the third verse, who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person. Now catch that. I don't think we often catch that. We hear about God from the Old Testament prophets and teachers and preachers and so on and so forth. And we can read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you know, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, all the way through to Malachi. We can read all, and we should, and that is I believe the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. But I believe the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So all the Old Testament pointed to something. But it wasn't the something. It wasn't the thing. It just pointed to the thing. To the person. So when Jesus comes up now, all of a sudden He is the express image of His person.
Amen.
They did the best they could to paint a picture, but Jesus comes along, He's not a picture. They did the best they could to give us a sermon about the Almighty, as it were. But when Jesus came along, He was the Almighty.
Yeah.
Amen. Wow. So if I'm ever a little confused, and sometimes I am. I'm married, got 5 kids and 15 grandkids. Come on, give me a break. But if I'm ever a little confused about who God is, I can get to Jesus and get the express image of Him.
Amen.
The whole truth of Him, nothing but the truth. I got bits and pieces in the Old Testament, parts and, are you with me? Little prophecies and messages and so on. But Jesus comes along and He is God. What does God do? What will God do? What is God's will? Jesus didn't give me a piece of God or a part of God or an aspect of God. He didn't fine-tune God and give us one side of God. He is the express image of God. In fact, that word express image, we get the word character. It's the Greek word character. That is the Greek word translate express image. It took, take two words to even translate it. We get character from that. What it meant back then was a stamp or an engraving or a representation or an exact copy. Engravers used it. Often masons used it when they would build things, you know, back then. They built bricks and brick walls and houses and so on, and they would put their imprint in the stone, their character in the stone, and it represented them. It was their work, is what they did. And when you saw that mark, you knew that was the work of this person. Are you with me? And they didn't just put their mark on just anything. Hello. Somebody might steal the mark, but they knew better if they tried to use the mark, you know, because they knew that person's work and that couldn't have been his work. A lot of people come in the name of Jesus and do shoddy work, but it's not him. We know better. Because we know his character.
Amen.
So Jesus is the imprint. How do we know what's going on? Is God or not God? Well, we go back to the character. We go back to the express image. We go back to Jesus and watch him and follow him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as he walks the shores of Galilee and the streets of Capernaum, as he casts out devils and raises the dead and heals the sick and forgives people and loves people and actually ministers to sinners. That's God. Well, yeah, we got a woman caught in the act of adultery. The law says stone her. What do you say? Well, Jesus didn't stone her. Isn't that amazing? And you know what? The law did say stone her. Because the law didn't give us a picture of God. The law just showed us a holy standard. It showed us how holy God was. But it didn't show us God.
That's right.
The law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
What do you say? Jesus said, well, let him without sin cast the first stone. That's John 8th chapter, if you want to study that. Isn't it interesting that they actually had a scripture? Oh, man. Y'all with me now? They had a scripture that said, stone the woman. Religion's hard on a woman. I don't understand that. I don't know how that was possible for her to commit adultery without a man. But there was no man there. There was just the woman. And all she was a point of argument or doctrine for these Pharisees. They could care less about the woman. All they cared about was their doctrine. When your doctrine becomes more important than people, your doctrine's wrong.
That's right.
It's just wrong. If the doctrine's right, it's going to include people because God is about people.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
Hello. God didn't condone what she did. What she did was wrong. And Jesus said, go and sin no more, but he forgave her. Because that was the character of God. That was the imprint. That was the stamp of God. Oh, yeah, we can see that. That had God's mark on it right there. But the law didn't have God's mark on it. Hello. Hey, what about the disciples came to Jesus one time? Y'all remember this? They went to one place, didn't receive him. They said, shall we call fire down like Elijah? You know what Jesus said? He says, you don't even know what spirit you're of. That's what Jesus said. And yet they had an Old Testament reference. But that didn't show us the character of God. That didn't show us the express image of God. All the law just showed us was the holiness of God. It didn't show us his character. It showed the standard that we couldn't meet. That's all it did. But it didn't show us his love and his mercy and his grace and his character. Jesus comes along and he says, man, you've heard this and you've heard that and you've heard this and you've heard that. But here I am. This is me. And I'm not about stoning people, calling fire down on people.
Wow.
Or, you know, you could say, well, Jesus came along, he shows God's good side. But the problem with that is, then Jesus didn't give us a full picture of God. And actually, he deceived us. Because he made us think he was one way when actually he was another way.
Yeah. Wow.
Or actually, he gave us part of what God we know about God, and the rest of it's in the Old Testament. No, actually, all the Old Testament talked about him.
That's right.
Woo!
Come on, it's good.
Getting quiet in this church. What's this? Y'all with me?
Yes.
Amen.
Third verse. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
I love that because he did it. He finished it. He took care of our sins.
Yeah.
And in fact, you know, over and over in the book of Hebrews, it talks about him sitting down at the right hand of the majesty on high. having become so much better also. That's a word you see over and over in Hebrews, is better, better, better. We got a better sacrifice. We got a better covenant. We got better promises. Well, you know, we got better possessions, and we got a better country and a better resurrection, a better priest, and a better hope, and a better person in Christ. All that's in the book of Hebrews. Better, 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 better. Having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. I love that. That name, there is no name like that name. We just sang that wonderful name. There is no name like the name of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is our deliverance. He is our Savior. He is our God. He was a man, yes, but he was God before that and still is God. And he came and he showed us God. He gave us the complete picture of God. You know, Jesus is not just how God's speaking today, and Jesus is not just what God's speaking today. Jesus is God speaking today.
Yes.
Does that make sense? And so when we think about Jesus, he's not just a prophet of God or a teacher of God or just a starter of a religion. He is actually God speaking to us. He is the clearest picture we'll ever have of him. We might draw stick figures, and we might graduate into oil paintings, and we might even get photographs and have a photo album, but that's nothing like Jesus. When Jesus came, God showed up. He wasn't a photo album. He is the fullness of God.
Yeah.
And when you think about what goes on, I love what Larry shared there, and we have this idea that God does everything in the earth, but he doesn't do everything in the earth. He's not in control of everything. He's in control of outcomes. Everything's going to happen like he says. But see, you have a will and I have a will. I can serve him or not serve him. I can reject him or I can accept him. I can do what's right or I can do what's wrong. I have free will.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to change the outcome. I can't do bad and make good come, and I can't do good and make bad come. He's already made the rules, and the rules still apply. Daddy makes the rules.
Yeah.
You jump off house, you hit ground, that's called gravity. You can't circumvent that. You can't lie, cheat, and steal and turn out okay. It's not going to happen because outcomes, he determines outcomes. He does.
Yes.
And there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and life is short and heaven's high and hell is hot. And we need to accept Jesus to go to heaven. He's available for all mankind and everyone to receive, but we have to make that choice. Can't go to heaven another way. There's only one way. You're not going to change that, but you can change your choice as to whether you receive him or not receive him. But make no mistake about it, he is Jesus, and he was shown to us in Jesus, and he was revealed to us in Jesus. And it's fascinating when you walk with Jesus how he never made anybody sick, and he never burned anybody's house down, and he never took anybody's money away. Yet those things do happen in this life. We know that because we live in a broken, fallen world. Well, the Scripture tells us very plainly that that's because of sin. Sin is not your sin, the sin of Adam. Some things happened to you, you didn't do anything. We're not in heaven. Got one amen on that. And the rest of you were just, you know, falling asleep or something. But anyway, we're going to heaven, but we're not there yet. And it didn't take a lot of snaps to figure out something's wrong with this world.
Yeah.
And see, just the pat answer is that God's got doing something. God did it for a reason. God did this. God did it. God's trying to teach me something. God teach me through this, and God taught me through this pain, and he taught me through this. Or he's developing my character. Well, I know some people have gone through so much stuff, I'm thinking they must have the most messed up character anybody ever heard in my life. Because it sure seemed like it's random. It doesn't seem like it's very just. I know people go through a lot more suffering than I do. I guess that because I'm such a great guy, I don't need that. Hello? I know people that just cannot be the case. I think about Travis. My goodness, is Travis so in character? He is so messed up that he had to have a kidney transplant and a pancreas transplant and all the pain he's going through. God is really working on him. No, 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 no. 1,000 times no. God's not working on him. That is not God. God is keeping him alive, and we're believing for healing in his body, and he's a miracle of God. But the pain and the disease is a part of this fallen world that we live in.
Yes.
And a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly.
Amen.
That's what Jesus said.
Yes.
And Jesus is the express image of God.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
I think in the Old Testament, you don't have a lot of revelation of the devil. You don't have a lot of revelation of it. And that's why we have Jesus.
Yeah.
If we knew everything there was to know about God, if we had it all figured out, from Genesis to Malachi. We wouldn't need Matthew through Revelation. We wouldn't need Jesus to come and straighten it all out. The religious people are the ones that were all messed up when he showed up. And sometimes we can get messed up about God. We start attributing to God things that the devil's doing. We start attributing to God things we've done. Hello? And how do we straighten all that out? How do you know? What's the legend to the map? Well, it's real simple. Jesus is the legend to the map. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Hallelujah. There's sin. I know there's sin. There's a broken world we live in. We're going to die physically. Sin's going to take its toll on our body eventually. This mortality, this mortal body will die. But hallelujah, one day this mortal will put on immortality and this corrupt will put on incorruption and death will be swallowed up of life and grave will lose its victory and sin will lose its sting. Hallelujah. It's coming. But don't put all that on God. God didn't do all that. He's the one we cry out to when we have a need. He's the one we call on when we're sick. He's the one we ask for help. Are you with me? And deliverance when the pain comes. God's not making you sick to heal you, and He's not slapping you across the face just to make you a better person. I mean, the hypocrisy of that anyway. I mean, it wouldn't let me do that. I couldn't break your leg to make you a better person. I couldn't burn your house down because you're proud and need to be humbled. If I do it, it's a crime. In fact, I'm forbidden, commanded by God not to do it. And yet, in some people's thinking, sometimes our thinking, we've got God doing that every day. Doing evil that good may come. Wow. Are you with me? You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the Scripture. Jesus is the express image of His person. Who did He make sick? Did Jesus not teach us? Did He not lead us? Did He not guide us? Of course He did. Did He ever use sickness to teach us? Did He ever make anybody sick? Did He ever start a storm? Now, I know the insurance policy says they're acts of God. But I'm trying to get you to get your doctrine from the Bible, not insurance policies.
Amen. Come on.
Don't get me started on insurance. Anyway. Did Jesus do that? What would Jesus do? What did Jesus do? We got four books of what He did here.
Yeah.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can follow Him in great detail. We had conversations He had with people.
Yes.
Things He said about God. Things He showed us about God. And here we have Hebrews telling us He is the express image of God. He is the character. He is the exact copy. He is the representation. He is the stamp. And He is the ingredient. You see the mark of Jesus on it. That's God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you God loves you. I know it'll make some people mad. It upsets them that God actually loves you and for you, not against you. And that He's good, not bad. But I'm sorry to tell you, if you want bad news, you have come to the wrong church.
Yeah.
If you want to hear God is crushing you, smashing you like a bug to make you a better person, I'm sorry, this is not that church. Now, we love churches and we're for churches and I'm not blasting churches. I'm just talking about Jesus. I'm here to tell you that He will straighten you out, put you back together and restore you if you've been crushed like a bug and if you've been depressed and if you've been lonely, if you've been hurt and if you've been through pain, He'll restore. He'll put you back on your feet again. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to preach deliverance to the captives, to recover your sight to the blind. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. He came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what He came to do. And He did that. And He restored us. Hallelujah. And He's still our restorer. He's still our repairer. He's still our healer. He's still our deliverer. He's still the lover of our soul. He's still the fairest of 10,000 to our soul. He is still the one that we call on in a time of need. He has not changed. Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And He showed us more than anyone the full and the complete picture of God. I got bits and pieces, and sometimes it wasn't even all that accurate in the Old Testament. God bless them. It's still the Word. Stay with me. But they were just men moved by the Spirit. Jesus is God. Man, that's good stuff.
Yes, sir.
That is better preaching than y'all are amening. In fact, you know, Colossians 2:9 tells us that He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's not one aspect or one side of God. It says He's the fullness of God. He's not one picture of God. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2:9. And notice over in John 5. Turn to John 5 with me. This is interesting. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Is it helping you this morning?
Yes, sir. Good.
I want to stir you. We're talking about Jesus and who He is, trying to get rid of some of the cobwebs and the confusion in our mind. I know a lot of times things happen in our lives and we think, well, man, what's God doing here? A lot of times God's not doing anything. A lot of times it doesn't have a thing in the world to do back with God. It was something we did or something that someone else did or something bad happened, you know, and you know what? It's a bad deal and maybe you've gone through a loss or suffered loss or pain and we don't belittle that. We know that hurts. We've all been through pain. And probably go through it again, you know, before Jesus comes. Because life's got sharp edges. I mean, this earth is fallen and broken. One day we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. You know that?
Yes.
Revelation chapter 20 and 21 and 22 tell us about that new heaven and new earth. And it says there'll be no more crying, there'll be no more dying, there'll be no more sickness nor pain, no more weeping. For former things have passed away, old things have passed away, and all things have become new. I always like to say, no mosquitoes, no red bugs, and no chiggers. Hallelujah. Going to be a whole new existence in heaven. Hallelujah. You know, they don't have funerals in heaven. Do you know that? There's not a hospital up there. Don't need one. The problem's not there. It's here.
Yeah.
It's here. And, you know, thank God we can tip the scales in our favor. You can't get rid of all the pain and the problems in this life, but you can pray, and God will help you and strengthen you. But He's not our enemy. He's not our problem. He's not our adversary. We have an adversary, the Bible says, is the devil.
Yeah.
And Jesus penned it in John 10:10. Larry quoted that, and I quoted it. That the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. So you can see the stamp, the character of God on what God does,
yeah,
as opposed to the stamp and the character of what the devil does.
Yeah.
Destruction and evil is not God. Starvation in the world is not God. And you know, and famine in the world and storms in the world, you say, where is God? Well, actually, God's not in that. That happens because of sin, the sin of Adam. Are you with me? See, if you think God is in control of everything, then you've got a problem because that's not what the Scripture says.
That's right.
Scripture is very plain what His will is, and He's compelling us and admonishing us and wooing us to obey Him and get in His will because, you know, we naturally are not going to do that. Left to ourselves, we'll be in trouble.
Yes.
And so we need the Bible because everything that happens is not God, and that's why we have the Bible, so we'll know what is God. It's not God to hate people, it's God to love people.
Come on.
We should love people and forgive people. Why? Because hate's not God, and He tells us not to hate, not to be bitter. Are you with me? And yet we know there's hatred in the world. We know there's bitterness in the world. Sometimes you're bitter and I'm hateful, but that's not God. Are you with me? And the Scripture is very, very plain. It's amazing how we'll quote Jesus' words when it comes to things like love and forgiveness and grace and mercy. But then when it comes to sickness and disease and destruction, we'll pull our Old Testament Scripture right out.
Yeah. Come on.
And parade Job in front of us. Old Job and his poor old yellow turkey. The Lord giveth, taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what Job said. Well, Job was wrong. He didn't know any better. In fact, the guy that wrote the book of Job, which we don't know who he was, he told us the devil did it. Job didn't know that.
That's right.
He said the Lord did it. Then Jesus comes along and He says, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, no, He didn't say that, did He?
No.
Jesus said, the thief comes steal, kill, destroy.
Come on.
Well, yeah, but when it comes to sickness and disease, we quote the Old Testament. When it comes to forgiveness and mercy and grace, we'll quote Jesus. Because Jesus is only the authority on forgiveness and love. Whoa. So Jesus didn't know what He was talking about when it came to sickness and disease. Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Now we're not talking about one prophet to another. We're talking about God Himself. Jesus was not a prophet. He was God. He was the express image of His person.
Amen.
In fact, it says here in John 5. Now, see, I'm getting you stirred up. You're thinking. I know you're thinking because you're getting real quiet. It's either that or you're falling asleep. And there again, if I can stir you to study, just go study it. Just follow it out. I'm not trying to, you know, tear down doctrine and teaching. We're just trying to build up Jesus and just teaching the Bible and getting us to think. You know, the Bible says not to think yourself more highly than you ought to think, but you should think.
Yeah.
Amen? Don't just check your brain out when you come in the door. We do have a Bible, and He wants us to read it, and He wants us to think when we read it. The fifth chapter, John, notice what it says, Jesus speaking in the 19th verse. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most surely I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Father, the Son also does in like manner." Y'all see that? So whatever Jesus did, He'd been seeing God do that all that time. Right? So if He healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils, then He'd been seeing God do that. And if He stopped storms, and He'd been seeing God do that through prayer and faith, and God been moving all that time. And He only did what He saw the Father do. Well, wouldn't it be kind of strange that all the bad things that God supposedly did, why is it that Jesus never did those? It appears that He never saw Him do those things. Or He decided He wasn't going to show us all of God, He was just going to show us a part of God. He was going to show God's good side. Good cop, bad cop. You know. But that's not what the Scripture says. It says Jesus was the express image of this person. It says He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When He hit the earth, the angel actually was quoting Isaiah, told Joseph to name Him Jesus, said, "Name Him Jesus, He'll save His people from their sin. And you'll call Him Emmanuel, which is God with us." I mean, God showed up when Jesus showed up. Not a picture of God, not a prophet talking about God, not another instrument that He was using to tell us about Himself. He Himself showed up. And He Himself did not do a lot of the things that we think He does. He Himself did nothing but good. Now, I believe there's a judgment day. Don't get me wrong, that's a different thing. Judgment is coming, and we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and the lost people stand before the great white throne judgment. But most of what's going on today is just sin in the world. Not necessarily ours. We're part of the world, so we're affected by other sin too. Hello. But God Himself is good. Amen?
Amen?
Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Father does, the Son also does in like manner." Now, while we're in that chapter, notice the 39th verse. This is interesting. "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they which testify of Me. And you will not, are not willing to come to Me that you might have life." All Scripture points to Jesus. So whatever it is we're trying to propagate, what doctrine we believe or we think is happening in our lives, we have to lay it at the feet of Jesus, because Jesus is what Scripture is about.
Amen.
He's not a message. He is the message. So everything has to fall back to Him. If He made a statement that seemingly contradicts some other statement, then we have to hold His word a little higher, because He's what it's all about.
Yeah.
"You search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they that testify of Me. And you will not come to Me that you might have life." Well, I don't think any Old Testament Scripture or any New Testament Scripture would trump Jesus' words.
Right.
Supersede and overrule what He said. But I'm amazed at how we as Christians, many of us, and sometimes many in churches and preachers, and I are one, many times will just overrule what Jesus said or did with some Old Testament account or some, thank God for the Old Testament, thank God for the New Testament, it's all God's Word, stay with me. But it was bits and pieces, it was partial, it was just different sides or shades of meaning and shadows and foreshadowings of Jesus. And when Jesus came up, all of a sudden, the veil was taken off. The blinders were taken off. The lights came on. Are you with me? And we are looking in the full light of day when we see Jesus. Without any trappings, without any smoke screens, without any veils, without any shadows. No, we're looking at God when we're looking at Jesus. Wow. And man, He looks pretty good.
Yes.
He looks like the one that really loves me, really wants to save me, really wants to help me. He looks good when I look at Jesus.
Amen.
And a lot of what I thought, I needed to tweak it. I needed to twist it. I needed to work with it. It wasn't complete. It was incomplete. It was partial. But when I got to Jesus, I got the whole picture. I see His character. I see the express image of Him. And He's not my problem. He is my answer. He's the one I call on the time I need. He's not doing all these things to me. It's just this world we're living in that He's trying to fix, and He will fix one day.
Yeah, that's right.
Woo.
That's good.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
Notice John 14. We'll wrap this up. This help any of you?
Yes, sir.
Well, tell me. Okay. No, sorry, I know you're thinking. Hallelujah. I mean, I can get an amen out of you. I mean, I could do that. You know, a cheap way to do it, you know. Can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
Well, see, at work, it was just a cheap thrill I got, but it didn't mean anything. So, and I also know a lot of times we're just quiet because we're thinking about it. So, but I challenge you, you know, and this is not a, you know, not blasting. We're not blasting people. Goodness gracious, we're for churches. We love churches. And there's some sincere people, and you may be one yourself that believes for some reason that God's doing something bad, you know, to develop you or to make you a better person, or He's putting you through this, or, you know, and you may believe that sincerely. We're not against you. Don't take this wrong. I'm just challenging you to get in the Word and find out what Jesus did and look at Jesus and see if He used those kinds of things Himself, because He didn't give us just a picture of God. He is God. He didn't give us a shadow or a side of God. He was the fullness of God, bodily, and He was the express image of His person, and He declared Him fully. Are you with me? And it's amazing, a lot of these things He never even used. He didn't break anybody's legs or, you know. That'll teach you. You know, throw His toys in the garbage, burn His playhouse down, you know. I mean, He didn't do those kinds of things. In fact, He did just the opposite of that. You know, I heard it this way. He never gave anybody a headache but the Pharisees.
Yeah.
He was a real headache to them.
Yeah.
And yet we know there are headaches in the world, so, and we're not saying those things don't exist. They do. We live in this broken, fallen world. But that's not God. That's not God's will. There's no headaches in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. Like I said, there's no funerals in heaven, no hospitals in heaven. There's, you know, and that's God's will. And when Jesus came down, He didn't make healed people sick. He made sick people healed. He didn't break things that were fixed. He fixed things that were broken.
Amen.
He didn't blind eyes that could see. He caused blind eyes to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, everything had the mark of heaven on it. It had the mark of the Creator on it. That was the mark of... You know, He didn't turn pumpkins into coaches and rats into coachmen. Or mice into coachmen. He made legs walk and eyes see. And that's what legs do. I'm always amazed at that. That everything Jesus did, when you think about it, had the mark of the Creator on it. And in other words, there's nothing miraculous, it seems to us, that we're walking around these legs and we're seeing out of these eyes. Of course, that's the point. We're missing the miracle of it every day. But all of a sudden, when someone's crippled and they're touched by God and their legs start walking, we think, man, that's a miracle. But you know, His legs are walking like everybody else's are walking.
That's right. Come on,
man. All they did was restore what was broken. That's all. And when the eyes were opened up, well, that's what eyes do. Eyes see. And when that withered hand straightened out, well, that's what hands do. See, the miracles and healings are not intrusions into some order into this world. They're not, you know, some alien entity. No, they're driving out the alien, driving out the intrusion, which is the sickness and disease and the sin and the brokenness of this world.
Yes.
When you're all together and Mr. Bluebird's on your shoulder and the peace of God's on you, you know, I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be. When depression comes in, it is the intruder. It is the invader. That is not the will of God.
That's right.
God wants you to have peace. Call on Him. Ask Him to help you.
Yes.
He lifts the lonely one. Mm. Hallelujah. That's what He did.
Yeah.
He did that in four Gospels. And I submit to you, He's still doing it today. Amen. John 14. Okay, let's wrap this up. Goodness gracious. Just not enough time here. Jesus is talking to... the disciples, and He's telling them about you know, not being troubled in heart and how He's going to go to heaven and make a place for us. Hallelujah. Many mansions in heaven. And He goes on down in 8th verse. Philip said to Him, 14, John 14, verse 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So what I am doing should show you I am God and that God is in me. But I think our idea of God sometimes, we'd look at Jesus and think, well, he was way too nice, way too kind. He didn't destroy the Roman Empire. He didn't wipe them out. He didn't kill anybody. He didn't start any storms. He didn't make anybody sick. And yet Jesus said, look at what I do. That's proof I am from God. So there must be a distinction here between what God does and what the devil does or what we do. And how do we know? Jesus. Real simple. When something's going on in your life and you don't know whether it's God or not, I got a real good thing for you to do. Go to the Bible, look at Jesus. And you look at what he does. And when you see what he does, you got a picture of what God does. So if it's not what Jesus is doing, it's probably not God. And you need to pray. And we know this truth better than we think we do. I've never had a prayer request come in and says, I've been having a great day. I need y'all to really pray that God will make me miserable. Wow. I mean, no matter what your theology is, I've never had anybody turn a request in like that. But countless requests have come in, and rightly so. Sickness, disease, divorce, whatever the case may be. Pray for me. I need help. I need God to move my life. And you know what? That's right. That's exactly right, because that's what God does.
Yeah.
God heals. God gives peace. And God forgives sin. Are you with me? God restores. And God fixes things that are broken. That's what he does. That's his work. The rest of that stuff was not his work, and that's why we're coming to God.
Yeah.
Because that's not what he's doing. You know, we often ask, you know, I think it was Billy Graham's daughter that said this. People ask, you know, what happened in Katrina? You know, where was God during all that? The flooding and the destruction that took place in New Orleans and, you know, South Louisiana. And she says, well, you know, it's amazing to me. We've took God out of our schools. We've took him out of government. We can't pray in public. We've took him nativities away from city council and county courthouses. And we've just seemed to take God out of every public arena. And then we're asking where God is in Katrina. And what was God doing? She says, I don't think God was even there. Are you with me? He wasn't doing that. We can't be duplicit about this, that we would have him in some parts of our life and other parts of our life. We need God in all of our life. If we want his blessing, we want his hand in our life, then we need to speak up and stand up for him. Amen? And not push him away, but pull him in. But we need to recognize who he is and what he's doing. He's good. He's not the flooding that took place in Katrina. Are you kidding? You kidding me? That's not what God does. No, God's good all the time.
Amen.
How do I know that? Well, I know Jesus. And if you don't know him, you can receive him. As I close this service out, you have an opportunity here to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I don't know what's going on in your life, but God's not trying to beat you into submission. He's not trying to push you through sin and sickness and pain to him. His arms are extended. You can come any time, and he's wooing you with his love. He loves you. The tragedy in your life is not what he's using to bring you to him. The devil just hates you, and sin has taken its toll. And you can repent of that and come to God any time. You don't even have to go through any of that to come to him. Your life can be going decent, pretty good right now, and you can still call on Jesus and get saved.
That's right.
Because he loves you, and he's for you. Amen.